Bows, as we welcome Fairhope City Council President Jay Robinson into the studio. Good morning, Jay.
Good morning.
Thank you for being with us. As is customary, since Fairhope City Council meets tonight at 6 in regular session, work session is at 4:30, and there's quite a few things to talk about in the work session.
Sure.
Including discussion of the Historic Preservation Ordinance.
Yes. So this is something we've been working on for a little while, and it's gone, I think, through several iterations to make sure that we get it in the best possible shape before we present it to the council for consideration. It goes back about a year or more now. I know it's been discussed far longer than that, but it really caught momentum because there was finally some support from the council because of some funding opportunities and because of some opportunities to preserve some of our local historic buildings that without something like this in place, there's not the incentive to do something like that.
Years ago, back in the Debbie Quinn Council, and then even closer than that, this has been discussed. There's been a backlash, and it's gone away. So you think there's some teeth and support this time, and what would it entail?
I do think there's some support because I think there was some, I think, a misunderstanding of what exactly historic preservation means. It's not an over-regulation of what somebody can do with their property. There's multiple sort of steps. The first thing is to enact the Historic Preservation Ordinance. One of the things that does is it establishes a historic preservation committee, or actually a commission and not a committee, which that in and of itself doesn't really accomplish a lot, but it's the first step that you have to go through. And then the next thing is you have to vote on historic preservation districts. And so everything wouldn't be historic preservation district, just those that were voted in. And it's something that would be voted in by the community, and it just gives the opportunity with something like this in place. If you have a historic home, but you have somebody that wants to tear it down, maybe somebody that wants to move it, it helps offer tax incentives and things like that for the person to maybe either move that historic home or building, whatever it may be, versus just tearing it down.
But it wouldn't disallow them to tear down.
It would create, I think, some steps they may have to go through in order to be able to do that, as opposed to just being able to do it on their own.
And we'll know more. Like, this is still in the discussion phase.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Also, a big discussion, the utilities budget discussion and capital improvements.
Yes. You know, we're getting close to time to passing our new budget for the next fiscal year, and obviously utilities is one of the biggest parts, if not the largest portion, of our overall city budget. And so we will be discussing not only operations but capital improvements for the upcoming year, and as anybody that's paid attention to our meetings knows, there are a lot of things in the works as far as upgrades and infrastructure for our utilities. And that'll be part of what we discuss tonight.
Discussion of conversion of unused sick leave to retirement service credits.
Yeah, that is through RSA. When people get close to retirement, they can use their unused sick leave as credit towards retirement so that maybe they can retire early.
And that's a good thing.
It is for those people.
Back to utilities before we go on to the meeting agenda. What's the latest on our water usage? I see we're still in phase one of the emergency water conservation plan, which is voluntary.
Correct.
Moving there, what now? A week or to almost 2 weeks ago.
That's right. Last week.
Okay.
We don't have yesterday's readings yet because we'll get them around 10 or so this morning. But my understanding is from the end of the week and the weekend, that our usage was down in the low sevens, which is typically where we are on a daily basis, and so that's good. So we're happy with that, and
Good. Then I might sprinkle my lawn.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So moving on to the meeting, and the first item on the agenda after council comments and mayor's report and public participation is final adoption of an ordinance that would help with our water, because this would require any new development outside of the city limits that want our water to annex if they were contiguous to the city limits.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion of this in the last meeting, and I think there's still some things that need to be ironed out as far as the specifics of the ordinance. I'm not sure that this is something that will be adopted tonight. Maybe it will, but I think there's still some uncertainty on exactly how these lines want to be drawn and
what lines.
Well,
it either is or isn't.
It is, but I think there's some. I think there's some confusion on. You know, if you have, I guess, contiguous pieces, you know, subdivisions, single family, multifamily, family subdivisions, how it'll apply to all of those different things. And I think that's just some things we have to be clear on before we put it in an ordinance.
And in case folks don't know, you're a lawyer, so you always look at the legal aspect of something.
Correct. It's got to be fair. It's got to be able to be you know, hand it out evenly, and it's got to apply the same to everybody across the board. And that's just kind of what we're going through to make sure that it happens. Part of what this will do, and part of the reason for, and you know, for the city wanting water customers to annex in, is that we don't get impact fees for people outside the city limits. There are no impact fees in the county. And so you're tapping into our infrastructure, you're tapping into you're putting burden on our infrastructure, but you're not required to pay any impact fees. And that's just the way the county is set up. And so by annexing in, we would be able to recoup those impact fees for those trying to tap into our water system.
And what that means is the builder has to pay fees in order to have access to the water, et cetera.
That's correct.
And then the city can take that money and put it back into improving an existing infrastructure.
Yeah, there are... You know, there are certain statutory requirements for what you can use impact fee money for, but obviously the design of impact fees are to help cover some of what each development's impact will be on your system and on your infrastructure. And so this is one way to help us be able to continue to upgrade and maintain our infrastructure for years to come.
Okay. Moving on the agenda, number 7 looks fabulous. This is a grant for a Go Mesa litter trap project of almost $167,000 at no cost to the city. Where would these litter traps go?
So I'm not sure exactly where these will be. I think there's one currently close to Winn-Dixie, if I'm not wrong. But I think we saw some success with the first, and so now we're looking to add to that.
Okay. Number 8 is to extend an agreement with a law firm for a retainer fee of $8,000 a month. What is that for?
Yeah, this is Maynard Cooper and Gale currently helps provide grant funding for us and lobbyist support at the state and national level, and we've been very happy with the results we've gotten this year.
For example, that $166,000.
Correct. Okay. Correct. And this is something that we monitor to make sure that the city is getting value for the retainer that we pay, because obviously if it's not worth it to the city, then we would, you know, look elsewhere.
We talk about millions of dollars in grant money, so I would think it is worth it. Number 10, this is a major infrastructure improvement. Magnolia to award a bid for the Magnolia Avenue Underground Electric Part 1 to UTEC Construction, $295,000. What? So this is all underground electrical? Tell us about it.
Yeah, so there's been a push, especially in certain areas of the city, to be able to move utilities underground. We all saw the destruction we had during Sally, and so whenever we're making this transition, when we're putting new lines in, putting new lines down, when we're able to put them underground, obviously that helps for maintenance and things moving forward in the event of a storm. It does cost a little more up front in certain circumstances, but it's definitely worth it in the long run.
And what area does this Magnolia Avenue from where to where, or do we? Do you?
I'm not 100% confident. I know I got a map here, so I don't want to speak out of turn. Let me pull it out and look here.
We're speaking with Fairhope City Council President Jay Robinson here at WABF. It is 8:34.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lori.
I was just filling time for you to find your paperwork.
From North Section to Church, from North to North Church. And from North Bancroft to North Section. So, and a lot of times when we do this, there is some cost sharing with development.
Wow, wait a minute. That's like two blocks? Wait a minute. North Section to North Church, and then Section
to yeah, it's a two-block area. Two-block area along Magnolia from the intersection of North Bancroft to the midway of North Section Street and North Church Street.
Okay. All right, well, let's move on because I know that you and many others want to get to the Fairhope Police Department for the 9 a.m. 9/11 Memorial and Prayer Service. So let's go. I see the Quill Creek Maintenance Barn is getting a roof replaced for $49,000. Professional consulting for financial advisors not to exceed $15,000. What is this for?
Yeah, this is something that we've discussed the last couple of meetings. As we prepare sort of our plan moving forward for all of our continued infrastructure upgrades, we have been able in the last several years to pay for those upgrades out of cash reserves and each of the utility funds. But we are starting to really step up those upgrades as we continue to move forward, and it just looks like a more feasible alternative to have sort of an outside plan, maybe through a line of credit, to be able to get these things done in a more expedited manner. And it might require us borrowing a little money to do it.
Okay, all right. And number 15, the development of Deep Well at Fairhope Whale Field, $23,500. Is this what would be a new water well?
Yes, it's what would be the beginning of one, because we already have a well that exists in that area. This would be some test bores to help add, I think, approximately 2 million gallons a day to the already 2 million that we're hoping to have online by March. This would be an opportunity to add another 2 million gallons a day, I think, by May, is if things work out correctly.
That's good to know.
That would be great. You know, and it's just something that, you know, the more we meet, the more we discuss some of these things, we find ways to continue to do some things that should have been in the works a long time ago, and that right. We've been working towards for a long time since we've been in office.
Now, at the last meeting, there was a resolution to get emergency water from Daphne Utilities if you needed to, up to 500,000 gallons a day. But the mayor said that wouldn't just be for normal average use because of the chemical difference. I didn't quite understand.
No. So it's not something that would go to our day-to-day water usage, and it's actually not something that's that uncommon. I think there are municipalities and waterworks that share water across Mobile and Baldwin County.
Sure.
So it's not an unusual thing to have that in place, but it would only really apply in the case of emergency. I mean, if, for example, we were in a water crisis as we were 3 months ago or 2 months ago or even 1 month ago.
Yeah, just a couple of weeks ago.
And we had some fire issue, then you could use that water. It would make sure that you never had any sort of water shortage in times of desperate
need. For public safety, okay.
Correct.
All right. And finally, number 16, the new pickleball courts, which appear to be quite popular, are going to get lighting for $37,000.
Absolutely. I don't think people are ready to be done playing pickleball at 6 o'clock when
right.
It's going to get dark soon.
Right.
So we're going to give them the opportunity to play a little later.
Very good. What else would you like to mention that I have not thought to ask?
We're doing some work on Gaston Plaza. That's underway right now.
That's the former clock corner, and boy, they're under the gun to get ready in time for the tree lighting.
That's right. So they're working hard. I'm really excited to see what that looks like, and just continued upgrades to our whole system. It's a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time. But we've got great people in charge of it, and our city staff, our mayor, they're on top of it, and they are really doing a great job. And so it's something that's never over and it never ends, and we just have to stay on top of it.
Thank you so much. Fairhope City Council President Jay Robinson. It is now 8:39 and 76 degrees. You're with Lori.